When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so you guys have just finished fighting off this terrible ghost woman who did some terrible things to you. She wasn't fun to fight, but you got through it, and now you are finally gonna get some sleep with the few hours you have left in the night. Nori kind of silently keeps to himself as he goes to sleep, looking kind of spooked, but you're all tired, so you all fall asleep pretty quickly. But Dartle, you... something just happened to you. You aged another 40 years, which I imagine is pretty traumatic for you. What's going through your head?
So Dartle's off by himself, crouched in the corner in the dark, and he hasn't seen himself yet, but he can tell what happened because it's a familiar feeling to him. So he takes out his dark blade, sees himself in like the black steel, his reflection, and he realizes his life. He just missed his life. He joined the guild so he could have lived that last 50 years he had left before he dies of old age, and then those got taken from him too. So he's trying not to feel sorry for himself, but at the same time having that feeling like, if anyone can feel sorry for myself, well, you know, in the feeling when like things couldn't possibly get worse, and then you age another 40 years, that's what it feels like. So he just lets his gray tear fall onto his blade and just kind of sits there pondering his existence with 10 years left to live.
Yeah, a lot to think about as you fall asleep. A lot on your mind, but you still fall asleep and sleep those couple of hours that you have left. But I have a question for the three of you. Which of you wakes up first?
Not me.
I think Juilliard wakes up first, in kind of the wee hours of the day, because his wound is still infested, and it's necrotic, and so he needs to kind of address that to sleep comfortably. So he wakes up really early, and he sits by the fire for a little bit. He has a healing potion, which he takes out, and he swigs half of it and saves just a little bit and pours it on the wound, which I think... how much do we say that normal healing potions heal us by?
It's 2d4 plus 2, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so that heals him 8 points.
Well, if you did sleep at all, that still heals you for a little bit, because you get some points back from a short rest, at least.
Are we taking a short... Oh, wait, did he just wake up early? Because we're taking a long rest, right?
Yeah, I was going to, like... A long rest
just
should...
Just sleeping for 6 hours.
Yeah, I think you should get most of your points back, Juilliard, but... Yeah, it's not going to waste, since I think a long rest has to be 8 hours, and you definitely don't have 8 hours of sleep in you.
All right. So I'll heal myself another little bit. Then
I was just gonna say that like a long rest is, and you have to be asleep for 6 of the hours, but it occupies an 8 hour space. So like,
okay,
you can trade off in shifts. But yeah.
Okay, I see. Yeah. So you definitely don't even get six. We'll say you get like 4 or 5, but so you're kind of tending to your wound, and as you're doing that, you kind of notice that both Kitsa and Dartle are still there sleeping, but you notice that Nori isn't on his bedroll, and you kind of like look around and panic for a second, but then you see him sitting alone watching the sun rise at the edge of the cave, and he just kind of looks like he's being reflective.
Okay, Juilliard's gonna sit up from where he is and walk over to Nori, I suppose. and sits next to him.
Do you say anything?
Not at first. I think Juilliard would wait until Nori says something first, because I don't think he really knows what to say. I think he realizes that, like, Nori is going through a lot, and this is, like, kind of, like, normal occupational hazard for Juilliard to, you know, like, be in danger, so I don't think that he's really the one to initiate the conversation. I think he's willing to kind of wait to see if Nori has anything to say.
Okay. He doesn't really acknowledge you as you sit down, and he knows you're there, but you two just kind of sit in silence for a second. More than a second. More like a couple minutes, probably. And he eventually says, "Juilliard, I think you were right."
Oh?
I shouldn't be out here. This is too dangerous for someone small like me.
Juilliard, like, kind of looks at him and is, like, kind of, like, appraising him. And with, like, a neutral expression, he asks, "Where did you learn to do that magic?"
"Well, my dad taught it to me in little bits as I've been growing up, but he tells me it's only for emergencies. My parents don't really want me to be going out adventuring, kind of like I am right now. But it's always what I've wanted to do ever since I was little and since we discovered that I had this gift. But after that scary fight last night, I don't know if it's for me."
So Juilliard, like, looks, like, back towards the sunset again and kind of, like, thinks about his own life for a second and just kind of, like, lets that linger in the air for a minute. And then he starts to talk to Nori. "You know, you do have something now that most adventurers, when they first start out, don't. You do have practical experience, seeing what danger is like. How will you react when things are not going your way? If your friends are on the line, your life is at stake, how do you react? And while I was fighting the ghost, and Dartle was being cursed, and Kitsa was doing magic, you stayed there right with us the entire time, and you even helped us win. You could have saved somebody's life today. Who knows? Maybe you even saved mine. You don't have to be an adventurer, Nori. But knowing that you won't run away when things get rough is a good quality that any person should have, and you should hold that dear to you."
That definitely puts a smile on his face. Not like a super huge giddy grin or anything, but that definitely helps his mood a little bit. And he says, "I'm not actually visiting a friend. I'm visiting my sister."
"Why did you lie about that? And why are you visiting her?"
"She was a lot like me when she was my age. She wanted to be a traveler, an adventurer, but of course my parents are against that, so she ran away. And she sent me a letter years later telling me where she was, and now a couple times a year I go to visit her. My parents don't know about it."
Juilliard doesn't know how to, like, respond to that, since, like, he has, like, never had family, and so he just kind of, like, sits by him a little bit, and eventually he says, "I think family is important, and if you really want to keep it secret from your parents or visiting your sister, I think that's okay. But I think they should deserve to know about your whereabouts and what you're doing. I mean, they're your parents, right? They'll love you no matter what. And they certainly wouldn't want you to die on your way. And neither would your sister, for that matter."
"Yeah, you're probably right. I've got a lot to think about. Thanks, Juilliard."
"Ah, yeah, well, it's no problem. You don't have to listen to me. I'm just a washed-up old monk. In any case, you can think about that while we get you to your sister's place. I think at this point it's foolish to turn back now."
Kitsa and Dartle, you kind of start to stir and wake up to the sound of this conversation going on. And the four of you just kind of pack up your things. And
can
you...
Can I talk to Dartle?
Can you talk to Dartle? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But, like, before we leave the cave...
Yeah.
I just want to be like, hey, are you okay with moving forward? Do you want to go back to the guild?
I mean, I mean, I've tried to run away from my problems before, and, like, frankly, I'm going to be 490 years old in the guild, too. I don't know.
Do you think they maybe know someone who can fix this?
I mean...
Who can help? Like, are you physically capable?
Actually, I don't know if I'm physically capable. Should I, like... Can I, like, see if I can walk for a minute?
Yeah.
We can make you a cane. Find a branch.
You can walk. You continued to fight that ghost, so you're definitely physically able to still do things.
Dartle's trying really hard to not
do a lot last night.
So he's trying really hard to not like look like weak. Like he's very clearly because he's still. I mean, in like actual time, it's been like less than a year since he was a 20-year-old fighter. So he's trying really hard to be like, I'm not gonna cry. He's just like he's looking at Kitsa and he's like, I guess I could use a cane. I guess it might help me walk.
Yeah, and I just want you to know, we're here to help you, and we're here for you, and I don't know how to fix this, but we'll fix it, and we'll figure it out, okay?
Okay. I bet someone at the guild can help me, but I don't know, if you guys go off on your own, like, I feel like you could use my help. Like, I can't abandon you guys to go get young again and have you guys get killed by something that was obviously meant to be fought by three people.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to, like, you know, lead us into an unbalanced encounter of some sort.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
Yeah. But I just want to make sure that, you know, we're here for you, and don't be afraid to ask for help. You're the best wizard that I've ever met, so I just want to make sure you have everything you need to be successful.
Oh, thanks, Kitsa.
So, Juilliard, like...
Oh, still have the... unreliable accent.
The Brooklyn accent's gone. He's too old for it, by the way. It's just old man occasionally.
So, like, Juilliard can, like, sense Dartle's, like, discomfort and, like, insecurity with him being old. And so he, like, gets kind of, like... Okay, I don't know how to describe this. So he, like, gets, like, a little bit, like, sassy with Kitsa, but I hope she understands it. It's, like, in a... like, a way to help Dartle. So Juilliard says, Kitsa, you can't baby him. He's an adventurer. Just because he's a little bit older now doesn't mean he can't kick some serious ass. How dare you try to rob him of that kind of agency?
A little bit older.
In fact, he's our senior now. We have to listen to him. All hail Lord Dartle. And as he's saying this, he's, like, pulling things out of his backpack to, like, make room. He gives Nori a shovel. He puts Dilby in, like, on Nori's head for a second. And then he, like, opens up his pack, which is, like, now mostly empty. And he, like, scoops up Dartle and says, from now on, I am your personal bodyguard, Lord Dartle. Totally. You're going to ride on my back.
Very You're humanizing.
Right. That's so much less patronizing than offering him a cane.
It's just like a Luke Skywalker Yoda thing. Look,
yes,
I'm like,
yes.
Hit the enemy, you will, master.
And all so right. Juilliard puts Dartle on his back, in his backpack. Got backpack no.
You want me to put all this stuff in the bag of holding, or did you just want to leave it on the ground?
Well, I gave some of the stuff.
Nori says, did you give me this for a reason?
Yes, you are now
holding
Squire
these brass knuckles.
Nori.
Squire Nori.
You're the one that wanted to come on this adventure in the first place, Nori, so the least you could do is carry some extra weight so that old grandpa here can ride on my back.
All right, we don't need to... come on.
Shh, hush now.
Yeah,
Master
I feel like I was a lot less patronizing than this.
He's doing the best he can.
Me, I just want to make sure you have your dignity and what you need.
I just...
Juilliard, get in my back.
Juilliard, you know, this is how this feels, all right? Sometimes I'm like, man... Juilliard's got my back. Now I'm on his. And sometimes, like, I'm going to cast deafness on myself.
That's a high compliment, my lord.
Thanks. That was a long rest, right?
Most of one, yeah. We'll need... count it.
Okay, sweet. Yeah. Second spell we'll slot it. Back.
By the way, I didn't have that much in my backpack. I had some rope, a pot, and a shovel, I think, and some everything else is like carried on my person. I'm fairly sure. So, hopefully, does Nori have a pack? If not, then we can just bag a holding it. But
yeah, he has a small one.
Okay, so Dartle's on Juilliard's back now.
Wee. Juilliard's like, or Dartle's like, I mean, for right now, yeah, this looks like the smart thing to do.
Okay. So if y'all are set in your ways, you all kind of pack up your things and you get ready for the rest of your journey. You know that the cave that you are looking for is about half a day's journey away from where you are right now. And right now, you kind of have an important decision to make, whether you want to just go straight to the cave with Nori, like, coming with you, or if you want to take him somewhere. And if you decide you want to take him somewhere, that's going to add at least another 2 days to your journey.
So...
Well, Nori...
Okay.
Oh, I was just going to ask Nori how he's feeling. I know you were talking to Juilliard earlier.
My leg feels a little better today. I think it's healing up pretty quickly. Definitely feeling better than yesterday.
That's good. I don't actively want to take you into harm's way. I also don't want to risk running into other things while we're taking you home. So I'm not really sure what the best decision is here.
So Juilliard like kind of drops his like shtick of like being overly deferential to Lord Dartle and like gets like kind of like Juilliard's serious face and says, realistically, I don't think we can afford to go 2 days out of our journey, regardless of, you know, Dartle's condition. Like, we need to get back to the guild as soon as possible, not only so we can treat him, but so we can complete this mission. It is a little bit time sensitive.
I'm not getting any younger. Let's move. I don't think we can take waste of time either.
So, Nori, I guess you're getting that adventure.
You think I'm ready for it? I won't be in your way?
Hey, I'm glad to have you, personally. I don't know what that means coming from me, kid, but I gotta tell you, I'm happy to have you.
Also glad to have you, but I think you should stay close because I very much don't want you to get hurt.
Got it.
Also, Kitsa, Dartle's, I don't think he ever really thanked. Thank you so much for your pep talk. That really does mean a lot.
Oh, yeah, it's no problem.
Okay, so you guys are going to continue on with Nori at your side.
Yep.
Okay, so you are continuing along with the half-day journey that you have left along this mountainous path. And pretty soon, without many interruptions, you get to the X on the map that you were given. And since, you know, an X, a map is only so big or so small, the X can kind of mean a lot of different areas. So you kind of keep your eyes peeled a little more where when you get to where the X is on the map. And because you were told that this entrance would be a little bit hidden. But lo and behold, after peeking around a well-covered corner path, you finally reach the hidden entrance to this chamber that you have been seeking for this whole journey. Are we good? Are we getting coronavirus over there?
Oh,
yes.
Goodness.
If anyone is going to have coronavirus, it's either going to be me or Amelia because she's traveling and I live in California.
Yeah, I'm not optimistic for my chances when I go to Vegas, if I'm going to be honest.
I've been in, like, 4 separate states in the past month. And I'm
so let's hope that none of us die from coronavirus. Anyway, so you see...
Oh, I just won't. I simply would not contract the virus.
I just won't. I won't allow it to happen.
Correct.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. You might be hearing my voice a little bit early this week since we decided to release a little early due to the world's kind of current circumstances, we sincerely hope that you all are staying healthy and safe during this kind of upsetting time. And if you're bored as heck in social isolation right now, then we hope that this early episode will help a little bit. So let's get on to the news. First on the docket for today, you might have noticed our brand new rebrand. It's been almost a year since we started this podcast, which is crazy. We first recorded on like March 29th or something, and then released our first episode first day of April. So it's like kind of there, not quite. It's kind of, you know, within the span of a week. So not quite there, almost. But yeah, it's been almost a year, and we love this community so much, and we decided that we wanted to show off a new, more stylish side of ourselves. So, we love our new look, and we hope that you love it just as much. And if you love it, let us know. If you hate it, let us know. I hope you don't hate it. I'm sure you all love it, but, let us know what you think, at our social handles at Guildfellows. I almost said SCP Play. And with that rebrand comes new merchandise. We have some brand new t-shirts and stickers in our store with our new logo, so go check those out at merch.guildfellows.com. So March 25th, this Wednesday, is the very last day you can use the code GUILD15 in the Natural 20s Studio Etsy shop. They make great handmade dice bags. I love mine very much, so go get yourself one. Again, that's code GUILD15 at Natural 20 Studio. We recently updated our Patreon page with new perks and goals, so go to patreon.com/guildfellows to check out what you can get while you give. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to Guildfellows if you haven't on your favorite platform, and that way we can be seen and heard by more people like you around the world. Our next episode is coming out on April 8th. Again, we want to thank you all so much for all of your love and all of your support for everything that we do, and we hope that we will continue this crazy story for as long as we can or want to. Yeah, I'll see you guys next time. Have I told you guys about Anchor? If you haven't heard about it, let me explain. It's the easiest way to make a podcast. It's a free app that you can find in your phone's app store. It gives you creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast straight from your phone or your computer. Let it be known that you don't need a professional setup to start a podcast. Anchor distributes your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and tons of other platforms. You can make money from your podcasts with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. We use Anchor for our podcasts, and as the one who edits and posts our episodes, it honestly makes my job so much easier. I really and truly love it. If you're looking to start your own podcast, I highly recommend using Anchor to do so. You can download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. So you see a stone door. And on it, on the very front, you see a 3-letter code that you need to punch in. Alphabetical with common.
Ooh.
Converted to English for us.
Here we go.
My first thought was ass, but I don't think kids really think that. Okay, guys. What do we think it is?
3-letter code?
Mm-hmm. 3-letter code.
Okay. Ricky and Vicky's old code. what was that?
I mean,
I wouldn't overthink it too much, and that's my hint.
When yellow meets blue in the east.
So, oh, can we try key?
Go for it. Are you trying that?
Yeah.
Wrong. Does not open.
Juilliard like goes up and tries G T H.
And the door unlocks itself.
Oh, Guild 3 heroines. Oh, nice.
That makes sense.
In a secure location, she said.
If you all don't get this instantly, you're stupid.
Wow. My brain was like, I was thinking of the words Guild 3 heroines. I was like, none of those words are 3 letters long. This doesn't work.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So this door opens and you step inside. And instantly you step on something you shouldn't, and everyone roll dexterity.
Oh, great. Haven't okay. I suffered enough?
You know, I feel like I would have been, you know, it's fine.
Julia got an unnatural 20.
Not an unnatural, an unnatural 20. I love that phrasing.
Okay.
It's got a 7.
Okay.
It's a 16 from Dartle.
Okay, well,
you're
so Kitsa,
you're in my
you...
backpack.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
Kitsa, you a blade shoots up from the floor in front of you, and it nicks you in your arm enough to make you bleed. So you are bleeding from your left arm.
Oh, but do I like take damage?
So
I mean, you could say no. I'd like no damage, but
oh, take 1 damage. It's not. It doesn't hurt you that bad. It's just You're just bleeding. It's not like a terrible wound or anything.
Guys, I'm bleeding, but it's not a terrible wound or anything.
That's specific. Here, actually, I'm going to give you my Cloak of Gray real quick. Actually, no, it's only in combat. Never mind. I'm going to toss you a bandage.
Cool. I wrap the bandage around my arm.
All right, move on.
Do tieflings have red blood?
Wait a minute. I like to think that...
Or does Kitsa have red blood?
I feel like because she's like part drow elf, she has like dark purple blood.
Okay.
I guess it would be like... Well, do we really have to worry about oxygenation here? I think it would be a deep kind of maroonish burgundy.
Okay.
And then like the veins would probably be like a dark purple.
Cool. I enjoy that. Okay, so
we should just have a whole episode dedicated to the internal anatomy of tieflings.
Heck yeah, I'd be down. As long as you taught it.
I'm writing it in notes.
That's the only trap that you can see has sprung in front of you. So you walk inside, a little more cautious after this trap has sprung, but You walk in and immediately you see 5 doors in front of you. There's 2 doors to the right, 2 doors to the left, and 1 in the middle. And each of them looks different from the last. The door in the middle has 4 unique shapes right in the middle, outlined for something to be placed inside of them.
Okay. Each side of them. Well, wow. Guys, I count 5 doors.
And 4 missing shapes.
What kind of shapes? Just like weird nondescript.
Like
thing?
One's a diamond, one's a circle, one is an S shape, and one is a triangle. Simple.
Mm-hmm. All right, pretty standard dungeon lock. 4 symbols, 4 doors.
Just as a reminder, you know that this is a testing chamber for the guild. It's similar to the dungeon that you first went through when you were testing yourself to be a member.
Oh, yeah. The dragon that we advocated for.
Juilliard, like, kind of puts those pieces together, and he's like, if there's another dragon that's trapped in here, I swear to God, I'm going to sue this guild. I don't want to do it, but if
really
they just
should
keep
write
doing
a letter.
It.
If that's the case, we should write a letter.
Okay, so Juilliard just, like, picks... one of the doors on the left, seemingly at random, and, like, tries to open it slowly, kind of looking around for traps.
Okay, yeah. It's unlocked. You're able to get in, no problem. And you walk in the inside, and you are instantly met with 3 more doors. From left to right, they're each painted a different color. From left to right... one is painted a sparkling gold, one is painted a blood red, and the other is painted a shimmering silver. And above these 3 doors, inscribed in the wall, it says, enter through in the order of which is least valuable to most valuable.
Enter in the order which is from least valuable to most valuable. And it's gold, silver, and dark red?
Yes.
Could one even say that it is blood red?
Yes, because I said it was blood red, yes.
Okay, so one would say that it is blood red. God
yes.
says it is blood
one
red.
One would say
okay.
that, yes.
So Juilliard just kind of looks at it for a second and just kind of like rolls his eyes and then goes through the gold door.
Okay. And whenever you walk through, it's kind of like It's an enchantment. So it when you walk through, it takes you back through the door that you initially entered from.
Okay. And then he just walks straight to the silver door and walks through it.
Okay. And you end back where you were.
And then he goes through the blood door.
And you are taken back to the beginning. Nothing happens.
So Juilliard, like, turns to Darl in his backpack and he's like, I don't think that's how that was supposed to go.
I think you're supposed to do silver, gold, and then blood.
Why would silver be more valuable than gold?
Least valuable to most. So least would be silver, second, most would be, a little bit more would be gold, and then most would be blood, right?
Yeah, I thought this whole trap was about the meaninglessness of money, and so the more valuable okay.
Oh, you really are a monk, aren't you? All right, Dartle's gonna like hop out and then see, and then go through silver, and then gold, and then blood.
All right, so when you get to the red door, it opens up, and inside you see a pedestal with one of the S shape that looks similar to the middle door.
I'm going to make sure it's not trapped. I'm going to take my old man vision and be like, yeah, let's see if there's traps in here.
Yeah, there are no traps, Spring. So
awesome.
You're good to go.
I'm going to grab the S and then run as quickly away as I can.
Okay. You have the S.
Juilliard says to Dartle, okay, but like, I thought this whole thing was an indictment upon capitalism.
Okay.
The more valuable something is in monetary terms, the least value it has to human life. Whoever designed Startle's these traps,
asleep,
loops,
by the way, in the backpack.
I guess he's fine. I guess that's okay.
I was going to say, while they were doing that, I was going to go in through the other door on the left.
The other door on the left. Okay. Okay. So, Kitsa, as soon as you open this door and you step inside, you fall. You fall very far. However, your fall is enchanted with Featherfall, so when you hit the ground, you don't hit the ground, but you stop nice. Right before you hit the ground, and you are able to get
Mission Impossible
back on your feet delicately. And basically what this room looks like is a very tall cylinder, and on the sides of the wall, there's like hooks for torches. Other than that, the sides of this cylinder room are pretty small, or pretty smooth, not small. And you look up and you see, being illuminated by a hole in the ceiling, there is the circle key being illuminated very much at the top.
Is it like in the ceiling or hanging from the ceiling?
It's like suspended with magic.
Okay. I think I'm gonna try and like put torches in the torch holes to kind of see if are they there, or they're just hooks, like spots for torches, or
they're just hooks. There's no torches there.
Okay. Yeah.
They're pretty high up. They kind of like spiral all the way up. So you definitely would not just be able to reach them where you are.
Can I climb?
If you find the means to.
Okay. How far away does the ceiling look?
It's pretty far up. You fell pretty far. It's definitely at least, like, 50 or 60 feet.
Okay. Can I just cast Misty Step twice and teleport up there?
What does Misty Step do?
Great question. I teleport up to 30 feet to an unoccupied space that I can see.
When you do that, you wouldn't be able to just stand on air in between, so you would get yourself 30 feet up, but then what are you going to do? You would just fall,
I'd cast
right?
it again. As soon as I get there, I'd cast it again, and then if it's suspended by like a chain or something, I would just grab onto that.
So, okay. Walk me through this. So you're going to cast yourself up 30 feet and just do it again as you're falling?
Yep.
I'm not going to let that slide because you need concentration to do that, and I don't think you're going to be able to concentrate if you're falling.
It's okay, fine. Technically, it's a bonus action spell, but whatever.
but you're falling. Like, I'm not gonna let you.
Okay, that's, I'm not gonna argue, but like, okay. So if I like think or anything, does it make me move through the space?
If you think?
Well, like if I'm feather fall and I'm on the ground, is it like, I'm trying to figure out how this room works. Is it magical room?
It's like in Spy Kids, whenever they fall, I forget which one it is, Steve Buscemi. Yeah, Spy Kids 2, and they like stop right before they hit the ground, and they're able to get out of that. It's like that. It's that enchantment.
Okay.
So it only works if you like fall down, you know?
Got it.
It's just there to catch you.
Well, I'm just gonna yell for my friends, because I don't think I have anything that can get me out of this.
Well, you have three friends.
Yeah, that's why I yell for them.
Okay, we'll say that Juilliard and Dartle have just received the S, and one of you, maybe only Juilliard, because I don't know how Dartle's hearing is.
he doesn't hear it.
I only hear her.
Yeah, no way.
You hear an echo from one of the doors nearby Juilliard.
Okay. Juilliard's like, oh, yeah, Kiss is having trouble somewhere. Let's try this door. And he goes into the one that he just came out of.
Not
the one he came out of. The one that's right next to the one he just came out of. So the other left door.
Well, that's the one that Kitz is in.
Yeah, so that's the one he goes into.
I'm hopping out.
Okay, so, Dartle, you hop out, and, Juilliard, you just fall to the ground the same way that Kitz did. Because you were not very cautious when you opened this door. You fall, and now you are down at the bottom with Kitza.
Hey, Kitza. What's up?
Hi. Yeah, I don't know how to get that thing. And I point up to the circle that's suspended.
How many feet do you think that is in the air?
Oh, less than 60.
Less than 60?
About 60. Yeah.
Let's see. I know that there is something that makes me jump super high.
Okay, well, that making you jump super high, I think what you're thinking of is the thing that triples your vertical jump, but that would still only be, like, 12 feet.
Oh, I guess, actually, I could summon Dracaris.
Yeah, go for that.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I'll summon Dracaris to go and fly up.
Okay. Dracaris poofs in front of you, and what do you tell him to do?
Okay, can you go and fly up and grab that circle thing?
And he flies up at your command, and roll a strength check for him. Okay. I don't know what his stats are.
Let me pull up the stats for a pseudo-dragon. Strength is -2, so that's a 10.
Oh, he's kind of having trouble pulling it down because it is being held in place by some enchantment.
Got it. That's all I got.
All right. Well, it's magic. Let's look around and see if there's anything to use here to, you know, conquer this trial or whatever the guild cooks up. So, what else is in this room besides the torches on this wall and the light and the symbol?
You can see the door, which is about halfway up the way that you fell. So that would be like 30 feet up.
So is it like actually like a wind like gust that's like propelled that like stopped us from falling, or is it just like that part of the room has feather fall?
It's just like that. It's not like you feel it right now. It's not like a wind blowing your hair up in the wind. It's just like an invisible safety net that catches you. So you're not gonna be able to do anything with it. Unless you can. I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't know what I would have besides my jump that would allow me to retrieve this thing.
Do you have tools? What do you have in your
Well, apparently it's stuck safely into place so that a small miniature dragon can't wrench it. So I feel like me throwing a dart at it probably wouldn't do much.
I mean, all I've got is, like, I have a prayer book. I have incense. Like, I have my daggers, but I don't think that would really work.
Dartle, what are you doing?
Right now, I don't think I'd be able to hear them, so I'm just going to go through the next door.
Amazing.
All right, we'll come back to you.
Sorry, guys. I just can't justify that at all.
Yeah, that's valid. We're kind of at a wall here.
I think what comes in... hold on. What comes in an adventurer's kit or explorer's...
I mean, we still have rope if we could lasso it down, but I feel like that'd be really difficult to lasso.
Right,
because
I was... Because Nori has one of those, but I don't know which one he has because I made his character sheet really... I kind of blew through it. Get on D&D Beyond.
An explorer's pack has a backpack, bedroll, mess kit, tinderbox, torches, rations, water skin, and rope.
So, Nori has been watching the three of you this whole time, and he looks over the side and he shouts down to you, and he's like, "You guys need some rope?"
Yeah, could you throw that down, Nori?
Do you need me to hold on to the other side, or do you want all of it?
I don't know how well you holding on to the other side is going to work. Well, I mean, if we just... Oh, I guess I could teleport up to the door at least and pull you up, Juilliard.
Yeah, you can teleport up there.
Yeah, I'll go up to the door and then... okay, well, now I'm here and you're in the pit. Do you want to come up?
I mean, I feel like we should figure out how to get this. Like, I don't know that I can do much from up there. Probably should just stay down here. I can try to lasso it with the rope.
I mean, I probably would have a better shot lassoing it since I'm 30 feet away now and you're like 60 feet away now. I just realized, well, no, wait, 30. If a pseudo-dragon can't move it, then a mage hand probably can't move it. I mean, I can try and lasso from here, or I can pull you up and you can lasso from here. I mean, we really have an unlimited opportunity of you climbing up this rope and then me dropping the rope back down.
Yeah, why don't you just give a shot trying to hit it from there, and then I can probably clamber my way up.
Okay. I am going to lasso the circle thing, but instead of actually lassoing it, okay, I'm tying a loop, and then I'm using a mage hand to put the loop
to, like,
around.
Hook it?
Yeah, and then pull it with my actual strength.
Oh, okay. Smart. Okay. So... Are you using the mage hand to get it around the thing or to just tighten it? Or both? What are you doing?
To get both. Yeah, I'm using mage hand to put the edge. I'm like throwing the lasso, except then having the mage hand actually carry the loop of the lasso and tightening it around.
Okay, roll strength.
Roll strength, which is just marginally better than my pseudo-dragon. Oh, that's not bad. That's a non-natural 20.
Oh, no, that's not bad at all. Yank it right down. But since you got a 20, it doesn't fall down, but you get it, but you yank it so hard, it hits the ground, and there's a little chip that comes out of it.
Oh, no.
So now Juilliard's in the pit.
Does anyone know how to mend things?
Oh, I mean, are the walls climbable at all?
You got the torch things. I mean, you can just try to... like rock wall your way up to the door. Or
yeah, I'm gonna try to just like climb my way up the rock wall because I got claws and stuff.
Wait, I can untie this rope. You can use this rope. It's 50 feet long.
Okay, just throw it down there. Get me out of this pit. I hate this pit. This is the worst pit.
And I also take the little chipped part if I can find it.
Okay, yeah, you see where it went. So you have both the pieces. So, yeah, Juilliard, it's a low DC since you have a rope, but roll for athletics to get yourself up.
It's a nat 20.
All right, yeah, you yeet yourself up real quick. So now all four of you are back in this room, and you have now gotten two out of four pieces. You have the S, and you have the circle.
Yay.
And you have cleared the left side of the room.
Amazing.
Dartle, you get to pick a door this time. I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go through the second door, like in order. The one adjacent to you guys is.
So the second door on the right?
Yes.
Okay, so you open this door. And with the three, the everyone else behind you, you watch as two gelatinous cubes slink down from the ceiling. And you're gonna get ready to battle.